You are listening to Charlotte Real Estate Talk with Pridemore Properties.
Hello, Scott Pridemore here with Mike Hagee for another episode of Charlotte Real Estate Talk with Pridemore Properties. Today, we welcome Elise Dashew to the studio with the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Board of Education. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Hi there. I'm happy to be here.
Very good. So, Elise, it's been a busy couple of years for you as an at-large member of the Charlotte-Mecklenburg Board of Education. You've been a part of a lot of changes and improvements to the public schools and zoning and helping our school system overcome challenges. Can you give us a little bit of what your day-to-day looks like?
Oh, my gosh. Well, in the past, certainly, I jumped in at a busy time. So in the past 3 years since I was elected, we have done a national search for superintendent, hired a great new superintendent, completed a very comprehensive review of how we assign our students. So glad that's done. We can move on now. And passed a $922 million bond, school bond, greatly needed. It'll make a real dent in our $2 billion worth of capital needs.
Fantastic.
That's been the last few years, and I'm excited this year to, with all the dust settling from that, just to have everyone return our focus to great teaching and learning. So that's what's on the agenda now.
Very good. So give us a little more information around your responsibilities for helping create more magnets.
I am a big fan of magnet programs. We have a huge number. It's like a rich menu of magnet offerings in our district, and my children have personally benefited from some of our world-class magnets. And so I have definitely long been a proponent of increasing access to these great programs so that more students throughout our district can be able to take advantage of our magnets. We've had complaints over the years, rightfully so, that in certain parts of Mecklenburg County, there just weren't as many offerings. Also, sometimes there were sort of artificial barriers to getting into a magnet. So we took a real good look at that, and we decided, you know, we found ways to remove those barriers and to make it easier to navigate the system. Our number of magnet programs are growing. The kinds of magnet themes are growing, whether it's language immersion, science, technology, engineering, and math. We just have performing arts. So where we used to have, just a few language immersion schools, we now are greatly expanding those offerings, including in our neighborhood schools. So we're expanding a lot of these things that we've sort of piloted in magnets are now moving into neighborhood schools too.
Fantastic.
That is so cool. It seems exposure to different cultures, I mean, is such a huge part of education for children. And here in the city of Charlotte, we're so, you know, fortunate to have so many different cultures to draw from. And what do you say about the value of diversity in education? I heard you speak to expanding those programs and those offerings, and it sounds like that'll continue going forward in the future.
Yeah, I was just this morning at the wrap-up for a code camp for English language learners. And I learned a new number there today. We have children who speak 206 languages in Mecklenburg County, in CMS.
Wow.
Which I think is remarkable. I think that's amazing.
Awesome.
And so we offered this camp this summer. It was a five-week, full-day camp that was free for the parents and the kids. Did robotics and engineering. They were building bridges, literal bridges. Metaphorical too, probably. But
nice.
And literacy, literacy lessons and making friends with each other. And I think we're very lucky to have such a global and diverse school system. And at the same time, we've really got to support these kids. They've been through a lot in their journey to America and their journey to Charlotte, and they're adapting to learning in English. And so I'm really proud of the work that our school system is doing in helping these kids get up to speed in the American way of learning.
Fantastic. So exciting to hear everything that's going on. With regard to your journey to the Charlotte Board of Mecklenburg County Board of Education, it started for you as a parent.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit more about how that materialized for you.
So my children were attending a school that was, I mean, all of our schools were hit really hard during the recession with big, big, big budget cuts. And my kids were at a very unique magnet school that faced some budget cuts that we thought were going to affect the school in ways that the then school board and the administration at that time perhaps didn't fully understand all the unintended consequences that we, the parents and the teachers on the ground, could foresee. And at that time, I was a PTA mom. I was sort of an Uber volunteer, and I had never, I must admit, I've always voted in every local election, but at that time, I was not someone who always knew what all those who all those people were that I was voting for. And through the process of, you know, a bunch of us at the school came together to say, how do we figure out what the solution is? Who do we have to talk to about the solution? And we really figured out who our school board members are, how to talk to them, how to work through this. And it was a really fascinating process. And we ended up having to just accept some of those changes and adapt to them. But we were also able to offer some alternatives that actually worked out better for everyone involved. And it was just a very empowering process. So then as soon as we got through that crisis, another one was looming, that there was a rumor of CMS cutting transportation to all magnets, which we were very alarmed about because that would make our magnet schools inaccessible to students whose parents didn't have cars and flexible work schedules. And so we then got in touch with parent leaders at all of the magnet schools, and we kind of built a coalition and then worked with them. And then averted that crisis, and then another crisis hit that involved all the schools in the county. And so we took those learnings and that network and grew it out to a network of about 40 schools throughout the county in a group called MEC Future, where we advocated to the county to not cut CMS's budget as much as they were looking to cut. And that was very successful. And so that's, by then I had the bug.
Wow. So it sounds like parent and community involvement was the catalyst for the improvement.
Absolutely. I'm a big believer in the strength of community engagement, and that I think we as a school system make better decisions when the community is engaged. Both the community, it's important for the community to understand why we're making the decisions that we're making and therefore to buy in. But also for the community to vet some of our decisions, because we can't be everywhere at once and see something from every different angle. And there are times where people on the ground living the school life in ways that maybe we're not can point out unintended consequences in time to avert them and find a better way of doing things.
So how do you and the school board get the word out to the community to enlist help, to enlist involvement?
And that is an ongoing area where we're improving. I would just say stay tuned. I mean, we definitely have, we do town halls. We send a lot of information out through our Facebook and Twitter and Instagram pages. So definitely follow all of those. We have an app, a CMS app, that you can download in the App Store that has good information on it and announcements. And but I'm looking forward to us continuing to refine our ways that we engage the community. And that's a personal priority for me as one board member.
And certainly as a parent and community involvement, it sounds like it really was the impetus in getting initially involved. And you were right there with all of us in terms of deciding where your children had to get into magnets, choosing neighborhood schools. Just curious, probably the toughest part of navigating the school system in general as a parent, and then how do you make that as a decision as a board member?
Yeah, so navigating the system, I guess it's a double-edged sword when you have this plethora of opportunities and choices. It can be a little bit overwhelming to understand what all is out there and how to get your kid lined up for it. And so a real good place to start is a website that started up a couple of years ago called cmschoice.org. And it is a very simple, user-friendly website that walks you through all the different magnet themes, as well as the career sort of career training options that are also expanding very rapidly throughout our district. It has key dates. You can actually even enter in your phone number and get text message reminders when key dates are coming up. And so that's a real good place to start.
That's great. And what would you say some challenges of being a board member has been, and how have you been able to overcome them?
So the challenges have been the fire hose of information, keeping up with everything that's going on, and then trying to distill that into messages that I can communicate out to the community, to my constituents, in a way that's clear and that lets people understand the nuance and the complexity of what we're working on, but still clear and easy to follow. And the other challenge is just keeping it real, keeping it human, just reminding everybody that our school district is made up of 147,000 human beings, these children with wonderful talents and bright futures if they have our support and our love and our high expectations. And so sometimes in this politically divisive time that we're living in, people tend to fall into rhetoric and stereotypes. And I find a lot of what I do is just remind everybody that teachers are people and our students they're just children. And we need to be supporting each other in supporting our public schools.
Your exposure to different cultures, it's my understanding that your early childhood education, you were homeschooled, mm-hmm. and you lived on a boat.
Mm-hmm.
It's really incredible from where you started to where you are today.
It was different.
Yeah. So what do you remember about those early days of your education?
So on my 7th birthday, we moved out of our house and we moved onto a little sailboat, and we sailed away. We were in Southern California and we started off going to Mexico, and then we crossed the South Pacific, and my parents, people thought they were crazy, but my dad had been sailing his whole life. That had been his hobby, and he used to race catamarans, and at one point he held the Guinness Book of World Records for the fastest sailboat. So wow. He knew what he was doing, but my parents were just very brave, and they chose a different lifestyle. They expected to just be gone for a few months, and then they thought they'd run out of money and have to come back home and go back to work. But it turned out to be a very inexpensive lifestyle in the late 70s, early 80s, much cheaper than they expected, and the money lasted, and then they started writing magazine articles, which paid for us to keep going, and in the end, we circumnavigated. We sailed all the way around the world and ended back up in California just before I started the 8th grade. My mom taught me through what we called a correspondence course at the time, but that was really just an old-fashioned way of saying homeschooling or boat schooling. We stopped in some other countries along the way, and I went to school in some of those countries. And then when we came back to America, I have to say, for all the adventure and all the rich experiences, I was really glad to have some stability. And it was very important to me when I started high school to finish at the same high school and to have the same set of friends for, you know, a good number of years. And so I really understand when people in Charlotte talk about the importance of stability. I get that. I've lived the need for that.
Very good. And how has your experiences and your exposure to these different cultures helped you with your seat on the Board of Education?
Well, I do. It's funny. I think sometimes outsiders have a fresh perspective, and you have a different way of thinking about things. And so if there's a problem that everyone's been stuck on for a long time, you bring someone in with a fresh perspective, and they can help, you know, break through to the solution. And I think my experiences growing up around the world and playing with kids when I was a little kid, playing with little kids in New Guinea and, you know, playing Legos was trying to figure out each other's languages. And it definitely, I think it made my mind kind of flexible, which is helpful for school board work. And it just gave me a real love and respect for the global nature of our community. And so fantastic. I really relate to those English learners in our schools.
Very good. We hope that you'll share this podcast when it's put out. We certainly
sure
hope
will.
That, you know, you can, this will bring more awareness, and you identified some fantastic resources for folks if they want to learn more information about public schools.
I sure will. Yeah.
Very good.
Listen, download our podcast, or find out more about Charlotte Real Estate at PrideMoreProperties.com.